rather than the introduction of biologic principles, more the promotion of biologic principles to endodontics?
Well, you see, you have to think about the influence of people like Lou Grossman, who was so interested in, you know, in the sterility of the canal. I think of that as a biologic principle. Lou made great stress about the biomechanical preparation of the canal, which I think of again as the same. Certainly people like Mary Crowley had a great influence on the bacteriology involved in the thing, which I think again it was biological. Bill just made us more aware of the periapex. And the work that he did in perforation of the periapex, and then the showing the downgrowth of, you know, if you're working in a sterile milieu and remove the necrotic material, the downgrowth of healing tissue within the periapex. But he had a more of an influence, I think, than the British did, Sir Wilfrid Fish and people like that, certainly on America at least.
Where does John Engel, the educator and endodontist, see endodontics going?
Well, I'm privy to some recent information from the government about the last so-called Haines Report, or the home survey of health in this country, and the caries rate has plummeted. And this seems to be a worldwide phenomenon. And I think it's related to prevention, it's related to fluoridation, it's related to better awareness on the part of the people, oral care, and in any event, why the caries rate's going down. This is going to have a real impact on endodontics. We probably have overtrained too many specialists. I think there's going to be, hopefully I'd say, there's going to be less and less endodontics to be done. I foresee in the not too distant future there's going to be a real scramble for patients. I think we're going to use less traumatic methods of treatment. And I would hope that we're going to get more and more sophisticated. But I have a feeling that if I should live another 25 years, that endodontics may not even be a specialty. It may fade out as a specialty. That certainly the schools should be able to train students well enough to handle almost all cases. And okay, you know, a few specialists, one in each city or something like that, to handle the really tough cases or the tough patients. But as far as the great emphasis on the specialist at this time, I don't really think is necessary. And I would say that if I personally have contributed anything to the field, to the discipline, it would be to try to simplify root canal therapy and at the same time make it sound so that it can be learned by the student in school, by the general practitioner who never had enough endodontics. I think if that has been my goal, and I would hope that my textbook has been able to do that. I have evidence that certainly a lot of practitioners out there in the boondocks have taught themselves how to do root canal therapy by the cookbook. And I think it's altogether possible that this will happen, and we'll see fewer and fewer specialists in the future.
Well, I'm glad I didn't have to ask you the final question of what John Engel's contribution, felt his main contribution to endodontics.
Yeah, well, there.
Right along the way, he's answered all the questions before I could ask them.
But well, it's been a lot of fun, I'll tell you. And
I cannot thank you enough for the time you've given me, because I know you don't have much time here, and you've really spent more than my share worth. But I think, as most people do that go through this, that you know, you get people wound up, and they start out with, gee, you know, I really don't have too much to say, and then it goes and goes and goes and goes, and it's, you know I could spend much more time with you, but, you know, I know you don't have it to spend with me.
Well, it's, I have a great sense of history,
mm-hmm.
And I love history, and that's why I think it's important that some of these things be recorded,
mm-hmm.
and not be lost, and, God, I don't know whether it'll ever get used or not, but nonetheless, well, I think it's important that someday somebody might want to look at what this ridiculous field was all about, and they'll have something to turn to.
Who's the old guy in out of Chicago that you used to see at meetings?
Oh, Coolidge, Ed Coolidge.
Ed Coolidge.
Yeah, dear. No, I didn't, but I'm sure other people did.
Well, okay.
Oh, he was a dear guy. Oh,
marvelous. Clyde Davis, wasn't he?
Oh, sure. He was earlier than Clyde Davis.
Coolidge was certificate number one.
He was, yeah. That's right. We saw to that. He was the giant, I'll tell you. And a dearer guy never lived. Just a sweet, dear guy, yeah. Never had an unkind word to say about anyone. I recall once riding in a taxi to a perio meeting in Miami with Ed Coolidge. He was a periodontist, endodontist like I was, you know, so we had, I think he and George Stewart and I were the only ones in the organization that had both boards. And he was also a good friend of Ballant Orban's. And so Ballant Orban had put my name in for membership in the American Academy of Periodontology. And I had my boards in perio at the time, but my application for membership had never been acted on. So I asked Ed Coolidge, I said, Ed, what do you suppose is the reason? Because he was, you know, he was playing both camps. He was in with the periodontist. What do you suppose the reason is that my application has never been acted upon? And he said, well, I'll tell you. He said, I happen to know that you ask Orban to put it in for you. And as long as Orban's name is on it, I'll tell you this, it'll never be accepted. Orban was on the outs with the organization at that time, the establishment. And he said, if you would allow me, why, I would be happy to resubmit your name and my name with, you know, as your sponsor, yeah. And so I said, well, I would certainly appreciate it if it's all right with Ballant. So I talked to Ballant about it, and that Ballant said, hell, I couldn't care less. He says, if that's the way they're going to play the game, to keep my friends out of the organization, why, let's get my friends into the organization through the back door. So Ed Coolidge sponsored me, and hell, went right through like that. But he knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. And he was never a part of it. He wouldn't stoop to anything like that. He was too much of a gentleman. But nonetheless, why, he was very aware, even though he was an old man at the time, he was very aware of what was taking place. And he was very fond of Orban. He just thought Orban was the greatest thing that ever happened to American dentistry.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.